Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I wasn't exactly the most popular kid in high school. I was just this average girl, not cool enough to hang with the popular crowd, but not quirky enough to get bullied either. Honestly, if you ask most of my classmates today, they probably wouldn't even remember me. I grew up in a big city. I won't say where, but think of places like Detroit, Chicago, or Philadelphia. I grew up in a place like that, and my neighborhood was this mix of faded brick buildings and concrete jungles. There was always noise, honking horns, sirens, and stuff like that. It had its own kind of charm, but sometimes it felt a little heavy. And yeah, there was definitely a fair amount of crime. Like I said, I wasn't super popular. My claim to fame was that my dad owned a junkyard with an iron shredder. And it might sound a bit odd, but honestly, it was kind of fascinating. A few people wanted to come by just to watch that machine shred old washing machines and rusty bikes into tiny bits. The first time I saw it in action, I was about 10, and the noise was like thunder. I remember feeling scared watching how the metal twisted and crumpled. It was oddly beautiful in this sort of destructive way. All the girls in school were crushing on this guy named Marco, and of course, I was too. He was a basketball star who worked out all the time.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Plus, he always seemed super smart, like he had stocks figured out or something. And everyone knew he had some family problems, but he still radiated confidence. One night during a football game, he came over to talk to me, and my heart literally raced. I half expected someone to pinch me to wake up from this dream. He didn't say much, though. He just said that he wanted to talk to me and asked me where he could find me at halftime. I said that we could meet at the front entrance. At halftime, we slipped away to his car, and he said he wanted to go to McDonald's. And that felt so random, but I wasn't going to complain. This was my first chance to hang out with Marco, and it was starting to feel almost like a date. Now, while we were driving, he suddenly pulled over and asked if he could show me something. He takes out a gun, and my heart dropped into my stomach. I was not ready to see that, and he says, "I need you to get rid of this." And everything around me went blurry. When someone holds a gun in front of you, all rational thoughts vanish, and I was terrified. I didn't want to be in that situation, and I couldn't really say no because he was holding a gun. My mind raced with all the things that could go wrong, and it felt like the weight of the world rested on my shoulders. I didn't ask questions. I just nodded, hoping to make things better. He told me to text him later, saying, "It was nice seeing you at the game today," after I got rid of it. We went through the McDonald's drive-thru, but I didn't have any appetite. That was seriously weird, and I almost felt like I was being kidnapped. And in a way, I kind of was. He didn't force me to get in the car with him, but I couldn't really tell him to let me go, either. And in a way, it felt like I was being intimidated into being in his car. Now, anyways, he gave me the gun and dropped me off at my car in the school parking lot, and we said our goodbyes from there. I went to school and grabbed the keys to the junkyard, praying that my parents wouldn't catch me. Thankfully, they were upstairs and the keys were in the fridge, and it felt like I was living in some kind of bad movie. I drove to the junkyard, but then panic set in hard. What if opening the gate was too loud and someone heard me? What if an alarm went off? What if someone showed up while I was there? What if the gun got stuck in the shredder? I had never operated that thing alone. What if I accidentally hurt myself? What if I couldn't figure out how to operate the shredder in time? What if this whole plan backfired and made everything worse? I just knew that this wasn't going to work out. And so instead, I went back to McDonald's, ordered a large meal because fries make everything better, and carefully slipped the gun into a bag with fries and a burger. I looked on Google Maps, found a park about 30 minutes away, and then drove there trying to stay calm. When I got to the park, I felt strangely detached from everything around me. I tossed the McDonald's bag into a trash can, and then I sat on the bench with my heart racing while trying to think of what to say if someone asked what I was doing. If anyone had approached me that night and asked if I was okay, I would just ask them to call an ambulance for me. I felt so guilty that I literally felt sick. I have no idea how long I spent trying to calm down, but eventually I was ready to go home. Now later on, I found out Marco's sister had gotten mixed up in something truly horrific that night. She was involved in a violent robbery where she had used a gun to threaten a store owner. The store owner had not cooperated with her, and she had beaten the man's head with the gun, leaving him bloodied and dazed on the floor. Thankfully, no one was killed, but the brutality of it all felt terrifying and sad. That victim was an old man. I was caught up in something way darker than I'd ever imagined. When Marco's sister was arrested and eventually charged, I was terrified someone would find out what I'd done and link it back to me. I felt like I was carrying around this heavy secret and I was suffocating. The thought of being questioned by the police, or worse, and becoming a suspect haunted me, and I never brought up the incident. I saw Marco around school and made sure to not even make eye contact. And thankfully, I never heard anything more about it. The rumors faded and life went on. When girls talked about Marco, I said just enough to pretend like everything was normal. I still visit home occasionally and have seen Marco around. He's always surrounded by friends, laughing and carefree, but we never talk. It's terrifying how easily I was intimidated into participating in something so horrific, and each time I see him, it leaves me with a chill.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
Kidnapped. I was hammered the other night, partying with the guys, when I heard someone shout, "Let's order some more booze." I looked in that direction, and I think it was Chester. He was my ex-boyfriend, and I have no idea when he got here, so I was a bit confused. Maybe I was imagining him being here. I tried to get up and walk to the bathroom, but I stumbled and was caught by someone before I could fall. Whoever it was, I couldn't recognize him due to my drunken state. But I could tell that he had a jacked body as I touched his chest. I heard a faint voice asking if I was okay before I completely lost all my senses. The next morning, I woke up from a thirst along with a throbbing headache. It almost felt as if I was hit by a rock or something. I tried to look around to find some water, only to realize the unfamiliar surrounding I was in. This wasn't my room. Where in the world was I? Wondering all that, I tried to get up, only to get dumbstruck by another realization. I was naked. I looked around and there was no one else beside me, but my clothes were all over the room. Did I? I shook the thought and started getting dressed up, and then walked out of the room.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
I remembered partying with my friends, Jack, Sarah, and Henry. And there was Sarah's boyfriend, too. But I didn't remember much after getting drunk. How in the world did I end up in someone's bedroom? Did they let me go home with someone else in a drunken state? As I walked down the stairs, thinking of exiting the house, I heard a clicking sound. So I hid while trying to get a peek at who it might be. A well-formed man with olive skin and black hair entered with a McDonald's bag in his hand. And after closing the door, he looked in my direction. Since he had already noticed me, there was no use in hiding, so I got out and told him that I would be leaving. "I don't think so," a mesmerizing husky voice invaded my ears as he grabbed my hand and yanked me in front of him as I tried to pass by him. What do you think you're doing?" I asked in frustration as I looked into his steel gray eyes. "Finish this first, then we will talk." I won't lie, I was intimidated by him as he gave me command and walked away, but it exasperated me. There was also distress building up, so if I wanted to escape this place safely, I had to do exactly as he said. I took a seat and started devouring the double quarter pounder that he had brought me along with some friends, and since I was already hungry and hungover, I fished everything. Judging by the surrounding, the guy was in his room, so I walked to the front door and tried to open it, only to find it locked. Now, this situation was getting rather unnerving. Why would he do something like that? I understand that I may have gotten carried away last night, since I was intoxicated, but he must have known that. This was getting frightening. What was he planning to do? Was he some sort of psychopath who was going to keep me locked in this house? I started imagining all kinds of nerve-wracking scenarios where I could picture something horrible happening to me. There was no way I was going to let this creep have his way. So I tried to look around to find something to use for my defense when my eyes went to a cat-shaped ceramic decor. I was startled right after picking it up when I noticed him standing at the end of the hallway while carefully observing me. He didn't look surprised or angry and started walking in my direction. "What do you want?" I barely managed to get those words out when he grabbed the decor from my hand and placed it back in its place. "I was hired to sleep with you, film you, and then ruin you. But before I could do anything, you threw up on me and ruined my mood," he said in a calm, low-toned voice that sent shivers down my spine. "Hired?" I stuttered. It almost felt like a knot was forming in my throat. My steps automatically started backing away from the guy, and tears started to build up out of panic. But instead of doing anything, he sat on the couch and took out his phone without making eye contact with me. Here, the guy was drunk, but he still saved his number in my phone. He showed me the screen, and I could recognize this number anywhere. It was Chester. "Don't worry, I'm not going to do anything to you anymore. I was also drunk last night when I saw you partying with your friends. You seemed hot, so I was going to ask for your number." But then the guy said you were a cheating whore who sleeps with multiple guys and tries to act all righteous, high and mighty in front of the others. He told me he would pay me $1,000 if I did this, so I accepted. The more he spoke, the more angst I was feeling. Please, just let me go. He flinched as I said that. He slowly got up from the couch while putting his phone back in his pocket and walked toward me at a hair-raising pace. Before I could run away, he grabbed me, threw me on his shoulders, and took me back to the bedroom I woke up this morning. As he threw me on the bed, his steel gray eyes stared straight into my soul. And the look he had was of a maniac. That was when I realized not all handsome, dreamy-looking men come out of fairy tales that we all have heard throughout our childhood, or the situation from a drama or comic where a drunk girl ends up in the same room as a handsome man, and the two of them end up falling in love with each other. The look he had at that time, when he was glaring at me, was not someone a girl would want to be with. It was terrifying enough to make me shake in my shoes. And as he started closing up the distance between us, it was sending me into cold sweat. He grabbed a fist of my hair and said while pulling it, "I said I won't do anything to you, nor was I ever planning to do what the jerk said. But I never said I would let you go." As he said this with chilling low tones, his deep and husky voice wasn't mesmerizing anymore. Instead, it penetrated my ears like nails on a chalkboard as it filled me with terror. "Didn't you work at a strip club?" As I was taking an order from a customer, he suddenly asked, looking at me curiously, as if he was trying to recognize me from somewhere. His question turned the heads of the other employees in my direction, which made me feel embarrassed. "I'm sorry, sir. I think you're mistaking me for someone else. Your total is $13.97. So do you want to pay through cash, card, or online?" I tried to avoid any further questions and hurried with his order. Looking at the long line behind him, he didn't say anything else and just went back to take a seat. But while he was sitting there, he continued staring at me, which made me feel uncomfortable. I had put my past life behind me and did the unthinkable to hide it from everyone so that I can live a decent life peacefully. But if someone reveals it like this, it would ruin everything that I had worked so hard for. I used to work at a strip club in Las Vegas a few years back before I moved to New York. And even though I only did stripping for only a few months or so, the stain of being this kind of girl just doesn't go away. Society doesn't look at the girls who used to strip naked to earn money the same way they do to others. So I had no other choice but to hide my unpleasant past to start anew. But that past I tried to erase had come back to haunt me. "Ugh, why is he still not leaving?" I bit my lips out of anxiousness. The way he was still staring while sitting there even after finishing his food was making me feel even more uneasy. But I still tried my best to ignore the man and continued working. Whenever our eyes met, he would smile at me like we were some old acquaintance or something. And it was starting to get on my nerves. He didn't wait much longer, though, and left after an hour or so. That made me feel relieved. But when I got off work and was walking back home, I noticed him waiting for me around the corner of the antique store. I wanted to turn back, but that would only confirm his suspicions, so I continued walking. "Are you sure we haven't met before?" He blocked my way and asked as he leaned to my face level. I swear I wanted to punch this creep, but since I did not want to create a scene, I tried to walk away from him. But he didn't let me and continued to block me. "Let's not do this, darling. We both know I'm right about you being a stripper. Now, if you don't want the little image that you have maintained here to get ruined, you'll quietly follow me." As he said that, I looked around and saw a few people from work looking at me, wondering who this man was. "Yes, sure, sir. I'll show you where the nearest subway is, since I'm headed the same way." Filled with indignation, I said this a little louder for them to hear and started walking with him. I could see the nasty smile on his face that was infuriating me, but I controlled my maniacal urges and followed him silently. The place he was leading me to did not look like a good neighborhood. There must be at least 5 abandoned houses we passed, and the people walking in the area looked shady as hell. "Where do you think you're taking me?" I finally opened my mouth to ask him that. The bastard looked at me with his foul smile and said, "You'll know soon. And if you don't want your little secret exposed, you'll keep following me." I clenched my fists, controlling my homicidal tendencies, and gave him the fake.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the 4 hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
His smile I could. He led me inside the building, and when we entered an apartment that resembled a garbage can, he locked the door behind us. I turned to look at what he was doing, and as I predicted, he lunged at me in an attempt to rip my clothes, which I successfully managed to avoid. He must be delusional into thinking I followed him because he had the upper hand on me, but he had no idea what my true intentions were, and foolishly led me to a neighborhood filled with crimes. How dare this evil-smelling, malicious man try to take advantage of me? Does he think I'm an easy target just because I used to work at a strip club? I muttered in a barely audible voice, thinking how cruel fate is to women. "What did you just say?" he asked in a pissed tone, which made me look him in the eye and sigh a bit louder before speaking. "If you know me, then you probably know Bill too, right?" I looked directly into his eyes. "Are you talking about the manager of the club?" he replied hesitantly. "Do you want to know how he died?" He took a step back as he saw the maniacal expression on my face. Oh, I did not want to do this anymore, but it's bad that I have to kill you now. As I said that, I noticed him getting ready to escape, so I kicked him behind the knees, making him fall on all fours, and then I rushed at him, putting him in a headlock. "Please don't hurt me. I swear I would stay quiet as a mouse. I won't tell anyone about any of your secrets. So please, let me go." I glared at him for a few seconds before bursting out in laughter. I couldn't believe this idiot thought I'm doing this because of my secrets. "That is not why you're going to die," I whispered in his ears as I stopped laughing. Huh. He was about to turn back. But before he could say anything else, I twisted his neck in a swift motion and broke it. As I released him from my grip, he fell lifeless on the ground. It was comical that his last thought must be why he was getting killed without even realizing it was because he tried to take advantage of a helpless girl with her past as an excuse. These are the times when being the daughter of a gymnast and a martial artist pays off, but they'll never know what I have been doing with the skills they taught me. I knew I was going to get caught this time, but I didn't care. Even left the body as it was lying around in the middle of an abandoned apartment building. As I was walking back, I didn't feel bad or troubled. Instead, I was calm, knowing that I was going to live my life to the fullest until they come and get me. Enough running. This time, I was going to face my fate head on, since it has decided to play this cruel game with me wherever I go. And in case I get away again, I was hoping not to kill anyone ever again. And it wasn't like I did those crimes because I wanted to. No, it's people like them who bring out the monsters in someone like me.
This happened nearly a decade ago. At the time of the story, I was 15, male, 5'5", and 132 pounds. I was a wrestler, so I always knew my exact weight and kept myself extremely lean, but still had a fairly muscular build. I lived in a fairly small town of about 50 to 60,000 people, and in my off-season, I did whatever I could do to become somewhat active than outside. I had a friend. We'll call him Blaze, who was really into disc golf and always asked me to come play with him and smoke a doobie while we were in the most secluded parts of the course. He was a couple of years older than me, but no bigger than I was, just not so great of an influence for me at the time. This small town only had two disc golf courses, one at a very public park near middle school, or one at the edge of town in an older park that was much bigger. Obviously, we weren't smoking for everyone to see. Little did I know, on that Thursday afternoon, that this park happened to be my town's hotspot for people meeting and hooking up in the parking lot. I live in the Midwest in the U.S., so there weren't a lot of, like, young, stylish, pretty guys. It's mostly guys aged 30 and 50, pretty big and bulky and country-looking. So we finished the course in the joint, walked out of the woods, anything but sober. We typically either just chilled in the grass or played catch after we finished up, until my buddy was more normal and ready to drive back. We noticed that there were way more cars in the parking lot that we got there, and a lot of older guys sitting on trunks of their cars or on tailgates loosely grouped together. This very large hairy man in a tank top and his tall thin friend dressed like a biker gang member started to do the wolf whistle toward me and my friend. I got pretty uncomfortable, not because a man whistled at me, but because we had to walk in their direction, and I could feel the eyes have way more guys on me than I wanted. For a testosterone-filled weight room junkie teenager, I did not feel very safe here knowing that there were at least 30 guys in this group, and I can see in my peripheral that a very large portion were eyeing us closely as we walked toward the parking lot. I'll make it clear that I'm not a fighter, and I would never intend to hurt anyone aside from self-defense. But I was definitely confident in myself to hold someone off. Us too. We're just so outnumbered and not in a sober state of mind. So anxiety made things much worse. A couple of them said some gross catcall things, more whistles, and then woo-woo noises that rednecks like to make when they're excited about something or instigating similar to woo, but if Eric Cartman screeched it. I think they had the idea that we were some people that met online and we were coming to meet up, being, hi, I didn't care what was going on. I just wanted to be safe and not the center of attention. We got closer. The big hairy man who did the first wolf whistle said something like, you think you can handle this? I just mumbled, no thanks, and tried to keep walking. He yelled back, who was that boy? To which I just clearly, no thanks. Not into it. He seemed offended and angry. Said, not into what? I said, oh, sorry, I'm not gay. And he seemed to be offended by that word. Again, asked me to repeat myself in a very aggressive tone. So I corrected myself and said, I'm just not into guys. Things escalated from here very quickly. The man stepped forward from leaning against the truck and grabbed my wrist. He said, well, we can fix that real quick. Don't get excited. I didn't do some cool fight move to attack him. just a simple wrist roll and using that momentum, a quick push of the elbow to turn him around so that he would have his back to me and I could get by without him any more. He responds, touches me like that again, and we'll get the both of you. Another guy made his way over to Blaze, who was much less calm and shrill type of stoner than I was. I can only describe what he did as one of those kicks or sidesteps off of a wall, but to that guy's chest and abdomen. He started to run and yell F off as loud as possible. Very quickly, bunches of guys began to stand up from their seats on the outside of their cars and motion our direction. I started booking it for the car too, and the Mr. Skinny biker type man was running right after us. Thank God it was just him running and not multiple chasing us, or the story might be different. I was faster than Blaze, so I got ahead of him and pictured us running across the parking lot to his truck that was facing us backing into the stall. I got around to the passenger side quickly, with Blaze still about 100 feet from the truck. He tried to cut to the rights and make it to the driver's side of this little tent, but the skinny guy cut him off and sent him to the left passenger side. I ran around the back of the truck as fast as I could to the driver door, and Blaze slid his key around the roof towards me. I hopped in, well aware that I did not want to be driving right now in the state of mind, much less in such a crazy situation, and even more or less, someone else's vehicle. Still, without thinking, I started that skirt out of the parking lot while Skinny banged on the bed of the truck chasing. But that wasn't the end. A truck and a car on the way right behind me. Skinny jumped into the car that was in the back, and the chase began. Terrified and still high. I cut through the grass in the park to get to the main road more quickly, thinking I would lose them that way. These guys raced over the speed bumps and around the bends in the park road right up to the main road, and they were driving so fast, I would have gotten T-boned if I didn't smash the pedal to the floor at the same time. I'm so stressed, I started silently crying while driving. Think of how horrible the possibility could be contact, whereas know that when your eyes are dry from the smoke, then they rapidly get moist. Contacts tend to drift to bits until they find their place again. This is definitely not ideal for someone with awful vision driving twice the speed limit down the road in the middle of town. So I started turning down residential streets and weaving in and out, being tapped on the shoulder by Blaze to keep my speed up, because the two were still on the rear bumper. I even made some risky U-turns that they followed right along. This chase lasted over 10 minutes of me frantically driving through main streets, residential back alleys, and everything I could try to get away. I was so scared. The best case scenario ended up not getting pulled over, and myself obtaining a permanent record by DUI by the ripe age of 15. Luckily, a stroke of luck and a surprisingly quick reflex came to my aid. Blaze yelled cop and pointed to a parking lot to our left, where there were police cruisers probably just waiting to catch someone speeding or running red lights. On the semi-busy road we ended up on, I whipped into the parking lot and parked a couple of stalls down from the cop. The truck prepared to turn, but stopped in the middle of the road. So quickly, once he realized what was going on, that the car followed him, had to swerve and pop a curve, catching the officer's attention. He backed out, and the two vehicles split different ways and were out of sight before he got out of the parking lot. Never went back to that park any time other than the mornings after that. So thankfully, that nothing bad came out of the incident, and we made it out completely unscathed. No idea what they would have done, but people were engaging teenagers in a car chase could not have had good intentions in mind.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
It's my first time in my life being harassed like that, too. You would think being in a car chase might be fun or exciting, but I just felt so powerless and like I had no control. Like, nothing I could do would both get these guys away from us and simultaneously not get me arrested.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.